This is The View from Pluto. I'm Amanda Rabinowitz with WKSU sports commentator Terry Pluto. Cleveland baseball fans are remembering former pitcher Jim Mudcat Grant, who died recently at the age of 85. Grant made history in the 1960s, when baseball was still deeply segregated. Terry, Mudcat was the first player that you approached for an autograph when you were a kid.
My father saw him. Oh, go ask him for an autograph. So I walk up. I try to say something, and nothing comes out. And he looks at me. He said, "Hey, little man, do you want my autograph?" So he says, "Well, what's your name?" So I whisper Terry, and okay, Terry. And he put all his stuff down, signed the autograph. I think a lot of people have memories of that.
That story is like every kid.
Everybody has somebody like that. And when I would run into Mudcat, I'd always tell him the story about that. Of course, he didn't remember. But Grant grew up in a place called La Clutchie, Florida. He made it sound this kind of quaint town, sitting on the porch and the bugs and fishing and all these things. But when I did the book, The Curse of Rocky Calavito, I interviewed some prominent players from the 60s, and he was one of them. And he said, "Well, I'm going to tell you the truth now. This is a lumber town, and it was a divided. There was the blacks on one side of the track and the whites on the other." And then he was a third baseman. He was signed by an Indian scout. But the thing that Mudcat also talked about is that back then, now this is 1954 when he signed, Jackie Robinson broke the color line in baseball in 47 at the start of the season. Well, Larry Doby with the Indians at midseason broke it in the American League. So, as he would say, a lot of the black kids at that time, they wanted to play baseball because of Jackie Robinson, because of the attention that got. But he said, for whatever reason, all my friends like Jackie Robinson, I latched on to Larry Doby with the Indians. So when the Indians offered a chance for him to sign, it was $500. They had a minor league complex. It was like a barracks near Daytona Beach. Well, he reports to there. He was supposed to get a $500 bonus. He was afraid to ask for it. He was afraid they were going to send him home. He was there for several days, and they kept calling out players for where they're supposed to go, and they would call Mudcat Grant. At that point, that was not his name. Somebody had literally given him the nickname. Finally, after the third or fourth day, he said, I go, "I don't know who this other Grant is, but I never get my name." He goes, "Well, Mudcat Grant right here." And he says, "This guy ain't showed up yet." He says, "I think I'm him." And he got the nickname from that. I mean, is it a pure stereotype? You know, the black Southern kid that must have been catching those mudcat fish? I mean, who knows? Wow. Somebody called him that. But part of it, think about, he was afraid to ask for the bonus he was owed. He frankly let them change his name because he wanted to play ball.
And that's all that mattered, I guess.
Well, that, or he said, "I didn't want to go back to that lumber town." And he ended up making it with the Indians and pitched there for several years.
In 1963, when you got his autograph, he was traded the next season.
Next season, yes. Not for a lack of production. The Indians back then, if you think they're broke now, they are mega rich compared to the ownership of the Indians back in the early 60s. So the Indians are playing the Twins. The Twins want a starting pitcher. They trade Mudcat Grant for a couple of nondescript players and $25,000, which is a lot of money back then, was going to help them get through the next month of payroll. In a true Cleveland fashion,
he went on to be great in Minnesota.
Yes, and he pitches in the World Series of 64, becomes the first African-American in the American League to win a World Series game. Then he became the first African-American in the American League to win 20 games.
What a storied career. I mean, overcoming adversity and just kind of making his way.
Right, and later in his career, he ends up being a closer for the Oakland A's. He pitched 14 years. People in Cleveland loved him, and then he ended up working for the Indians in the offseason when he retired. Then they put him on the air, and he did the games on the air for a number of years.
Do you still have the autograph?
I wish I did. I do not. Yeah. I looked around for it.
It's great that you have that memory, though.
Yes, it is. And probably a whole bunch of people listening to this have no clue who Mudcat Grant or James Timothy Grant was.
Yeah, I didn't either. But to just know where his legacy is in Cleveland is really special.
What it took for the players of that generation, they had the black players in one barracks down at Daytona Beach and the whites in another. And, you know, you when you went out to eat, you maybe ate in the kitchen or out back. And to not come out of that bitter, but willing to speak his mind. It's not like he just shut his mouth and took it, but just the way to handle it. And I think he prided himself, "I want to be a bridge across racial lines." But a bridge meant that also people were on your side of it. I don't just always walk over to you. You also come over to me some.
Terry, thanks.
You're welcome, Amanda.
That's WKSU sports commentator Terry Pluto, who joins us Wednesdays to talk sports.